Okay, if you love The Office, 30 Rock, and Parks and Rec...
And really, who doesn't?
Well, you need to check out Trial and Error.
Ooh, they're calling this show a murder mystery wrapped up in a comedy.
Mm-hmm. Witty, smart, hilarious, John Lithgow starring as a man who looks pretty guilty.
Okay, check out this clip from the show.
Where were you the night Margaret was murdered?
I went to get gardening supplies.
Fantastic. I'm sure they have security video.
One shovel, one tarp, and let's throw in this ski mask.
Trial and Error premieres after The Voice, March 14th on
NBC.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to the show. Welcome to The 100, Season 4, Episode 5, The Tinderbox. This is the AfterBuzz TV after show for The 100. We are so excited to break down everything for you. Raven is Neo. Neo is the one. She's going to save the world if she doesn't have too many strokes before she does it. We're so excited. We'll see you in 1 second.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Boom. It's
every
dramatic.
Time.
Well,
well
there
for,
you go. Yeah, that was
I always
good.
Wait for like, it was, yeah, there it is. I was like, I always wait for like that weird chorus in the background.
Throw your arms up and do like some sort of a dance.
Yeah, yeah, I usually try to. It's usually a rain dance or please don't kill my 100 dance.
Jazz dance.
What's up, guys?
Hi.
Welcome back to the show. Welcome to the 100 After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
Hello.
this is me and Alexis breaking down the show for you. It's fun. My name's Ben Bateman. You can find me at Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. Alexis, where can the folks find you?
You can find me all over social media at ATORS890.
Yeah, we're here to talk about the 100. The voice that I've been kicking into is... Because we did an episode on Action Movie Anatomy today.
Oh, the Bill Paxton.
Remembering
one.
Bill Paxton. And Paxton is one of my all-time favorites. And I watched a lot of Paxton in the last 24 hours getting ready for that episode. And I just find myself wanting to talk like this.
Oh, God.
I love the Paxton voice. I'm not great at it, but I do love the Paxton voice.
It's fantastic.
And he is greatly missed.
Yeah.
R.I.P. Bill Paxton. The thesis statement for the episode was that Bill Paxton is the greatest action-adventure character actor of all time.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, because if you start to think about the level of movies, I swear to God, we're gonna talk about the 100 in a second. If you start thinking about the level of movies that guy was in,
yeah,
but not as the starring role. The only one of his big 12 credits that he's the starring role is Twister, which is a great action movie.
I love that movie so much.
But then you start going down the line, and you're like, well, I guess he was in Aliens, he was in Tombstone, he was in Terminator.
He was in a lot.
He was in Apollo 13, Edge of Tomorrow, Nightcrawler.
He was in Edge of Tomorrow?
Yeah, he's the drill sergeant.
Oh, God, I forgot about that.
I mean, Near Dark.
Whoopsies.
He's in everything. It's,
yeah.
And it's Titanic. He's big role in Titanic. Anyway, the point is, that was the thesis, so go watch that on the Popcorn Talk Network. If you guys like Bill Paxton, we're here to talk about The 100 After Show.
That shameless plug, though.
like Paxton. I mean, he's greatly missed, you know?
No, I know.
So this is season 4, episode 5, titled The Tinderbox. Nothing to do with the Tinder, the app.
No. No.
It's sad that that's where we're at in culture now. If you read the title and you're like, does this have something to do with online dating?
Nope.
but it doesn't. It's just actually a box of wood that's going to burn.
Yeah, which is pretty much what that was going to end up happening to them.
That's what a Tinderbox is. So, a couple big plot lines going on in this episode. I think we should start with the Raven one.
Yeah, because that was pretty groundbreaking. If not to be, I don't know if that was punny, but in my brain it was.
No.
But like, I feel bad at the fact that her brain is pretty much, it's like, what's that movie? Limitless? Like where she's using like 100% of her brain, but it's also killing her at the same time.
Right.
But
the average person uses 10% of their brain. She uses like 17.
Yeah. It's not like that. Like,
nah, it looked like she was using like
100%,
like 66%
of her
brain.
It was insane. But I love how they were saying that Nightblood was created to I know we had to rewind this a couple times, but it was like Nightblood was created to not reject the AI, but help with the radiation, like poisoning, and Abby was trying to make the cells connect. And I thought that was really cool that they've been like sitting, I don't even know how long they've been sitting there for it.
We legitimately had to rewind the opening statement 4 times because
they said it so fast.
They like really were just like, we're going to go hard sci-fi on you. The line,
fantastic.
The exact line was, Nightblood was designed to help the human body not reject the AI and protect it from radiation emitted from the device.
Yep.
Like, say that 4 times fast and see if we understand what it's actually saying. So it took me a second. Basically the idea there being that like the super blood that is supposed to help you not reject something that is artificial and put into your body,
mm-hmm.
and then also protect you from the radiation.
Yeah,
and that's why if you reverse engineer it, you can in theory save everybody from radiation poisoning.
Which I would think that with those three minds in one room, we would be able to do that. But again, like I said, Raven's mind is clearly kind of going the opposite direction, which I don't know how you guys felt about it, but when Raven started floating around, I was like, this can't be right. There has to be something wrong here.
Well, here were my thoughts. One, I was like, okay, she's got to be hallucinating. Mm-hmm. She's got to be in, like, a dream state.
Yeah.
Two, I was like, Raven already was the Matrix. Her mind already is the Green Lines.
Yeah.
So she's the one, and now, like, seeing her fly, I was like, I'm just calling it by the end of the season.
Bitch.
Is she on your shirt?
She is on my shirt.
Oh, I didn't even see that.
You didn't see that?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. It's the campaign that Lindsay Morgan did.
Yeah, right. I remember that. That's super cool.
I bought a shirt. You guys can't see it unless I stand up, but
that's a great shirt. I didn't know you bought that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, cool. We should tweet at her. She'd love to know that.
Yeah, I think I did. I think she favorited it, but that was like months ago.
Months ago? Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
Oh, I'm going to be wearing it at Klexicon, and we'll talk about more of that information later.
She's like just straight Neo. Like she's flying, and she can just, and her mind is like so fast, mm-hmm. and she's so smart. And what was it like? What was the thing that was written? It's like Raven has a seizure. No, neurons.
I don't remember what it was.
Neurons pairing faster than your brain can process.
I think
is what was going on when she started having a seizure.
Yeah.
So she wakes up and they like look. They're like doing the tests. She's wearing her, you know, her like
the weirdest looking thing. Like I know that was supposed to be like a portable CT scan, pretty much, but like it just. It looked like something you buy from Sky Mall. Like, I was very confused.
Yeah, it also looks like the thing in a sci-fi cartoon that they put on your head while you're running on a treadmill to test you.
Yeah, but it was, like, overexerted because usually it's just little suction cups.
Yeah,
this
right.
was, like, a whole, like, it looked like a comb. Like, yeah. They took, like, MIB, like, egg chair, but made it more modern and put it on her head. It was very weird.
It's like a headdress.
Yeah, it was strange.
It was cool. Yeah. It was a cool device. One thing I've been noticing more just TV and film in general, and I noticed it in this episode, is that when they were showing the neurons pairing on the screen and, mm-hmm. and the simulation of her brain, is like thinking about sci-fi and all of the ways that it's evolved mm-hmm. since like the 60s, 70s, and 80s.
Oh, yeah.
One of the things that's so satisfying is that at a very, very low budget now, they can make the things that they show on the screen in like a complicated lab, like really colorful and shaded, mm-hmm. and like well animated.
Yeah.
Whereas like back in the day, you know, any kind of like simulation on a screen was like so basic. Even they were trying to make it look futuristic.
Right.
You know, it's like very pleasing to look at.
Yeah.
Easy to illustrate. So anyway, so Raven's like crazy super smart and she wants to, you know, just keep pushing and keep pushing. And Abby's like, no, look, you've got.
Yeah, she had a stroke.
you had a stroke and you have some of, Becca's personality in you still. You have some of her information.
Yeah, not her memories, but just thoughts in general.
Yeah, which is really dangerous because Becca was like crazy super smart. Becca like created Allie, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you'd like to think that Raven would like never like tip over the edge again, but if she does have part of that personality and information and knowledge in her head,
right.
who's to say she wouldn't tip back over the edge?
Right.
And have a moment and, you know, turn to the dark side. Mm-hmm. Anybody in the chat, any thoughts on Raven?
They were mostly talking about Iliad, and we'll get to him a little bit later. Or Ilian, sorry, not Ilian, Iliad. Yeah. I was thinking of the book. And what happened at Arcadia, but nothing about Raven so far. But we'll get there. So,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's what's going on. And then... Abby's all like, well, I guess I don't really want to test myself. And I got the feeling, and you looked at me and you said the same thing. She kind of knows she's got the same thing going on.
Well, I mean, yeah, and we kind of found that out towards the end of the episode. But yeah, it feels like because Abby is such a medical professional, in my head I'm going, if she knows that her brain was being messed with in any shape and form, I feel like she would do tests on herself just to make sure everything's okay.
Right.
So maybe she did find out. That she's having, because why would they hint towards the fact of like, hey, you were also affected by the chip. Do you think you should do a brain scan? And she's like, everybody has different symptoms and, you know, your body reacts in different ways to brain damage and things like that. So, you know,
I'll let you know
I'm
if
fine.
I have any headaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I was like, something tells me Abby probably already knew about this. She's just putting it off.
So, like, what we saw in the little picture was that Raven basically had, like, a tumor in her brain.
That's what it looked like to me.
Like a moving, some sort of mass in her brain anyway. Mm-hmm. And yeah. They didn't really elaborate on what that was. She just has something in there. And I guess we're to assume that Abby perhaps has the same thing going on.
I'm going to assume that, but I don't think it's at the same, I don't think it's at the same capacity. She just has. Right. I'm assuming that everybody has brain damage from what happened with the chip. I think there's just different severities, but because, like, how Raven very nicely put it in computer terms, which I thought was really awesome, was the fact that, like, everybody else had, like, you know, well, not they weren't hardwired like she was, where, like, if you uninstall or kill something or delete something, you know, you do it correctly, there's no problems.
Right, like but if you just unplug while your thing's running.
Yeah, and the fact that it's the operating system. If you shut down the operating system, you burn the entire computer.
Right.
And it might not work. Yep. Or it could, depending on how bad it is. But most of the time, you need to get a whole new computer. I hope I said that right, but don't quote me.
Yeah, Abby sees a... Now, we think that Abby's vision of Clark at the end was the same kind of simulation that Raven had, not a dream.
Yeah, I'm assuming that it was a hallucination. I couldn't look at the screen, so I didn't know what her face looked like. I'm assuming it's radiation poisoning, and
you
her face.
You just assumed
was like
that.
Yeah.
You just figured.
Yeah.
How did you look away?
Because the fact that they wouldn't show her face, and then the music changed. My immediate brain goes, "Oh, her face must be all kinds of messed up." Yeah. So when you flinched, I was like, "Nope, nope, not looking at the screen, not doing it, can't." I can't do it because I don't like gore.
Lesions and things. Reminded me of some of the gory, like, monster-looking people in Event Horizon.
Oh, yeah. Hell no. Yeah. I wouldn't. Nope. I would have had nightmares and I wouldn't have gone to sleep.
You ever watched Event Horizon?
I did, and that was a mistake.
Sweet. Mark, are you a fan of Event Horizon? I know you are. You've got to be. I
haven't seen it.
What? Oh! What? What is going on? I don't get it. That's hard sci-fi right there.
Yeah. No, it's an awesome movie. I usually have to just do a lot of this.
Yeah, right. Yeah, definitely.
So that's why. But no, I definitely think that she's hallucinating, which is there is no point of teasing that there was hallucinations if we weren't going to at least get one from her.
Right. So now Raven, because of her information, understood that there was a spaceship in that lab.
Talk about awesome. That reveal was insane because I was very confused when she said it.
Yeah.
The doors opened. And she was kind of freaking out, and I was like, wait a minute, I thought you knew that the ship was there, but then when they said that Becca's thoughts were in her, was in her head, I was like, oh, okay, that makes more sense.
I just want Raven to be Neo. I know I keep saying this.
I mean, she's pretty close.
No, but instead of hallucinating, I want her to just be able to, like, you know the scene at the end of the one where he just puts his hand up and the bullets stop?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, granted, he's in the Matrix.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think that's gonna happen.
Yeah, so it would be, like, actually a City of Light scenario where she would be able to, like, basically be in the City of Light and, like, be a boss. But in the real world, I just want Raven to just all of a sudden be able to, like, walk normally. Aww. And just be able to, like,
I mean, we got her for a little bit. Well, yeah, couldn't control the world, but we got her to walk normally.
And Superman fight, like Neo.
I love the fact that she was able to spacewalk again, like she did, like she used to. I thought that was really cool. And I think the last time we saw that was season one, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm happy that we got to see that again.
Yeah. One thing that I find really interesting is that they don't show a lot of in-show Raven exercising. They don't show her, like, doing
push-ups.
And, and what I was thinking is, like, Lindsay Morgan, notoriously, if you follow her on any social, is, like, a workout warrior.
Yeah, I was watching her do those crazy, like, she was picking up, like, half of that. I don't even know. It wasn't a pull-up bar, some sort of weight, and she was, like, jumping back and forth with it. I was like, girl, I can't even do that.
She's jacked, and she, like, goes running at, like, 5 a.m., so she's, like, in crazy good shape, which is evident when you watch the show. But, like, they don't explain that at all, which is TV. It's fine, but...
But also, at the same time, I'm assuming it's because the fact that she's probably so worked up right now that she hasn't had time to sit there and actually work out. I mean, she can barely run in the show,
right?
You know, so...
No, I just thought it was, like, an interesting point. So,
so maybe they'll do it more often.
Yeah, so she finds the spaceship, and she's all like, we'll be co-pilots, you and me, and we'll go flying... Oh. What's up?
We have something in the chat. MJ in the chat says, that mass is dead brain cells due to the stroke. More spots could appear later from more strokes.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, MJ.
It's
That
makes sense.
I have no idea. I don't have any. I don't know how to.
I wouldn't know how to evaluate that either. Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate that. That's actually really, really helpful. And it makes a lot of sense. So what a brain scan must look like after a stroke.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that you know that information. That's fantastic. Jay in the chat said that he really hopes they don't kill off Raven. I hope not either. That would be great.
She would be a hard character to kill off this season. They've really built her up to be, like, kind of... She's become, like, a really unique and important character on the show in a way that in the earlier seasons she wasn't as important.
Yeah, I felt like she was always kind of in the background, but... last season and this season, I feel like she played quite a prominent role. Melissa in the chat said Raven had has a stroke in her brain, which basically means they kill the brain cells, which MJ definitely touched on. And you can die after a long enough time or enough strokes. It is a condition, not a cancer. Yes, and we apologize for that. That is what the moving black space was, since it was in real-time image. There
gotcha.
You go.
Okay.
So yeah, thanks, guys. Again, did not know that. So I learned something today. That's awesome.
So Raven's like, let's go, and we'll cope out. We'll go to space. But then... because now they're both hallucinating, you wonder if we're gonna like,
oh god, no, don't put them in a ship together. This sounds terrible.
What if they're in a ship together and they give us a whole sequence and then it flashes back and they're both just seizuring in the lab and that's just in their minds?
But that would be absolutely horrible to watch. I'll just be like, I'm done, guys. The Hunter writers are trying to kill
me. Horrific. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I can't do that. But it would also make sense to send Abby up there, because if she, let's say Raven did have a stroke up there, Abby would be able to help, because clearly...
Why don't we think that Abby's going to have the same problem?
Well, no, I'm not saying that completely. I feel like, I don't know if they would send... I don't know. I keep forgetting this dude's name. The guy that's his assistant.
Him Sinclair, but he's not Sinclair. He's dead. Sinclair died last season.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, this guy has been in the show a bunch since, like, a long time. He's just always a peripheral character that gets, like, very few lines. Is his name Monroe? No. Is anybody in the chat? Like, I don't know why we always forget this guy's name.
Well, if you put it in there, I'm going to write it down this time, because I felt bad that I didn't do that last time. If they send him up there, that might be good too, but I feel like because Abby has more medical experience, it would be better for her to go, but because of her condition, which we haven't technically learned yet, we know that that's probably not a good idea to send her up there.
And that lab...
Jackson, guys!
That's what we got. I'm writing it down.
Thank you.
So that lab is going to be increasingly important now because Arcadia blew up.
Oh, my God.
So let's open that one up with...
Well, because the reason this explosion was kind of like, holy crap. I mean, I couldn't tell if it was just all CG or if they actually blew up a set. Like, sometimes it's hard to tell. But it reminded me, if you can start it like... 20 seconds in, Mark, that would be awesome. Like, yeah, right there. There was a crazy explosion in 2015 in China. I think it was Tianjin was the city, and it was like a gas plant or something that like blew up. And mind you, this explosion looked like something that would happen in the movies, but guys, this actually happened in real life. Like, it was in the middle of the night, so it starts out like that. And the explosion, I think it exploded like 3 to 4 different times.
Crazy.
Like, that.
Crazy. Whoa.
That is what it looked like in real time.
That looks like something in a movie.
Yeah, right? Like, it looks like you're on a set and you're watching them explode the set. But no, that was in real life. That was an entire plant. Like, people's homes were shaking. Some people, there was, like, debris. Like, it was insane. Not to be, like, super weird about it, but that's what it reminded me of when it was, like, small explosions and then it continued to grow from there. That's what it reminded me of.
That's a real explosion. The one in the show looked fantastic. Another point to bring up just about the evolution of technology is, like...
Yeah.
If you go and you watch an old 80s movie, like good examples of ones that have a lot of explosions are like Rambo First Blood Part 2. Mm-hmm. We just covered The Running Man on the show.
Nice.
And what's funny is they blew stuff up for real because the CGI wasn't strong enough.
Yeah.
But it's like they would have to do these explosions. They'd like blow a car up and it would be like dramatic scene, insert explosion. And you'd like show a car blow up. And you're like, wow, you guys just like blew a car up and then inserted the shot because like the editing's not that strong. It's just funny how, you know, the explosion in the show looked fantastic. It was blended.
Yeah, and that's why I said like I couldn't exactly tell. And that's the great thing about the CG in the show is the fact that if it was completely real, you know, like they did blow up the entire set, or obviously for those purposes they used a computer and it looked fantastic. So like that was that whole point. But it's crazy how we went from like super practical effects to like we could just do this in a computer now. Look how cool.
The coolest in movie explosion I've ever seen is in the movie Deja Vu with Denzel Washington from 2007. And if you go watch it,
I don't remember that explosion.
They blow up a ferry at the beginning of the movie.
Right,
I
remember that.
They like fully explode a ferry.
Yeah.
And here's the craziest part of it is they actually did it with a real ferry.
Really?
And then because it was just a flash explosion of gas, you can watch it happen. It like fire through the ferry. They then just like cleaned it and repurposed it and put it back out there.
What?
Yeah, it didn't. It just was fire. It didn't like destroy it.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, if you go watch, there's a B-roll video you can find on YouTube. Deja Vu behind the scenes.
Write that down.
It's crazy looking. It's like one of the more wild things I've ever seen. I was like, how do you use that again? So anyway, back to the show. So
sorry about that. I had to go on a weird explosion tangent. It's like Michael Bay just entered the studio. I was like, look at all these explosions.
You get me talking about explosions. So Octavia pulls the move with her horse, where she's like, "Take me home."
She was bleeding out quite a bit.
Yeah, she
on
was
that
almost
horse.
Dead.
Yeah,
she was almost dead.
Yeah.
No, she doesn't say "take me home." That's what Aragorn says. She says "good horse." She says "good horse."
No, I thought it was the opposite. I thought Aragorn says "good horse," and she said "take me home."
Oh, she says "take me home."
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm getting them mixed up.
The scenes were exactly the same, so I totally understand. Yeah.
So she gets picked up by Ilion in the woods just by chance, unless Ilion was following them. But I think it's got to just be by chance.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, clearly the fact that he found her and didn't kill her was definitely not by chance. But yeah, I don't know how. I'm going to assume, at least for my prediction, that he followed her out there.
Yeah. So do we think that he followed her, saw that, and then like took her back to Arcadia with the plan the whole time in mind? Because it looked like once he got inside the Ark, he was looking around and was like, "Oh man, I have the ability to really like f some shit up now."
Yeah.
I just said one curse word and abbreviated the other.
I think that's really great.
It's not intentional.
No, but it's better that way, actually. but no, I agree with you that that could have been. But I feel like, just to play devil's advocate, that I think that he knew that the Sky Crew has always been about technology. So he's like, what better way to destroy technology by going to their base?
What does the chat think? What do you guys think? Do you think that Ilion like had this whole thing in mind and was looking for his opportunity to get into Arcadia and followed Octavia? Or that he saw the opportunity and was legitimately trying to save her? He wouldn't be trying to save her, right? Because he didn't like her. They didn't get along.
Well, I love it because Melissa's like, did no one else wonder why they left Ilion alone in the first place? Like, Clark runs into the ship with Nyla, and no one bats an eye that there's a random stranger. I also agree. Keep Ilion away from Becca's lab, please. I don't think he's going anywhere at this point in time, especially after they know what happened.
I thought he was just going to straight get killed at the end.
I thought
Echo was just like the nod from Rowan. I thought Echo was just going to take a blade out and just slit his throat.
Yeah, I was a little afraid about that. Renji said, "Ilion, you stupid idiot. I knew it would be pointless, but he should have been executed... Death by 100 cuts. We haven't had that in a while.
No, we haven't had death by 100 cuts.
No fan. P2 Urple, I'm assuming Purple 2. Ilion wasn't considered a threat since he saved Octavia's life. Maybe.
Right.
Maybe. But I'm like, but he also set the Arcadia on fire. So I feel like he's going to be half and half. It's like, do we kill him?
And somehow managed. This is like a question I had. So,
yeah,
like Octavia and Nyla are both standing near the explosion, but like around a corner. So when it goes down,
yeah, they jumped out of the front door.
But Ilion is legitimately standing, like next to the full explosion that he sets off.
Yeah.
Right. Like, how did he get out? That's what I want to know.
No, I think someone else brought that up in the chat, because that's what I was looking for.
He literally set the explosion down, the thing went off, and he, like, seemed to be completely okay.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Is that, if you watch his face, as it actually burns up, he looks like he didn't realize what he was going to do, that the engine room was connected throughout the whole ship. But yeah, I feel like, I do think it's weird that... Because he was on the complete other side of the server room. There's no other door. So I don't know if maybe he hid behind something and then was able to get out. I have no idea. Because it wasn't really explained. He came out and was just like, all right, that was unfortunate. All right, let's go.
One thing I thought was really interesting was that they drew a parallel between the strength of the strength of Sky Crew and the weakness of, I guess, is Ilion as Gaeta, or is he a different...
He's a different one. It's,
is he Trishana Crew?
Yes.
That's what he is, right?
Yes.
I thought it was interesting that they drew that parallel, because Bellamy was able to talk Monroe. Right, Monroe? God, why don't we just have
Riley.
It open? Riley.
Yeah.
Which one's Monroe?
I have no idea.
We get in trouble every week for not being able to remember names.
But there's so many names,
there's
guys.
So many names. Yeah, anyway, Riley, redhead, who was imprisoned.
Yeah.
So Bellamy is able to talk him out of doing the thing that he believes he needs to do for his people, in, you know, inflicting death. Whereas Ilion was not able to be talked out of doing the thing he felt he needed to do to protect his people from death.
But I think because the fact that it's just like with cultures and things like that, like you can technically, not all the time, but sometimes you can talk someone down from maybe even committing suicide or jumping off a building or whatever you want to call it. But there are other people who will clearly go into a building and killed themselves and the people that are in them, children, women, or whatever, because it's something that they see as a religion or a greater purpose at the very end. So
yeah, no, I mean, obviously, like, when we start talking about, like, people who want to inflict harm on only themselves, fundamentalism, or characters that in this case, in both cases, they feel that they're doing it to protect their people from a greater threat.
Monroe died last season. She was, like, she was a girl. I do remember her now.
Yeah, I don't know why I thought that was
Sorry, guys.
Yeah, I got to apologize for that.
Yeah, that's also late.
It is late. I know. Well, I've in some shows in the past, I've either... I don't like having a computer open on my side, because when there's too many, it's, like, cluttered.
No, I understand.
And so sometimes I've written a bunch of characters down on the sheet, but then you just don't have them in front of you. You're trying to rifle through things. Anyway, yeah, moving on. So, I thought that was interesting that he's not able to be talked out of it. So anyway, that he sets off this explosion and everybody gets back. Nyla, there was a little, some sparks, no pun intended, between Clark and Nyla.
Sorry, that took me a second.
Nyla kind of looked like she was looking for something. Clark wasn't giving it to her.
Well, I mean, we already know their history together, so.
Right, I just mean, like, she kind of looked like she was like, you're always so serious.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
There was some flirting and I was okay with it.
He's pretty light, though.
Yeah, well, it's fine.
I don't think Clark's going back to the well on that one.
Maybe not for a while. I think she still needs to, you know, worry about her people right now instead of running off into the to the woods and hanging out with Nyla again.
Yeah.
You know, which is nice.
Seemed like Nyla was kind of like a little more into it, but Clark's still grieving of her lost
girl. No, I know, but I mean, you know, they're on two different pages at the moment, and it also just that friendly banter of just seeing that friendly face, because it also looked like Clark really wanted her to stay.
Yeah.
Like, we didn't really get to finish that sentence with her because Octavia walked in.
Right.
So, I mean, you never know. If they do get back together, I'm all for it, because that sounds awesome.
Yeah, it seems highly unlikely. Like that, that feels like a place the show doesn't really want to.
But I'm hoping now that Nyla will be in the show more now.
Yeah.
Because that would be great. I would like for her to be there. But I also am scared, because anytime we bring in some character that we either brought back or has been gone for a while, or we thought was dead and now they're there, it's usually never a good thing.
They usually just are there to die.
Yeah. And I don't want that.
The show has no qualms about killing people. So,
nope.
Yeah, so that's the gist of what happens back at Arcadia. Now we have the last part of the episode, which is that Clark rides out with a team of her people with rifles to go meet Rowan head on.
So smart.
And yeah, and so we have this whole interaction where there's targets on Rowan and everybody's like, I'm gonna kill you, you're gonna kill me, everyone's gonna die.
Oh, God.
But yeah, Bellamy finds out that Octavia is alive, and I did like that moment a lot. You can see the hope in his face. They've done a pretty cool thing with those two, with that relationship, over those few seasons, because it's evolved. Both characters have evolved so much. Octavia obviously is, I think, the greatest arc in the show so far.
Yeah, I agree.
And she's such a different character than when the show started. Than, you know, we're back, bitches.
Mm-hmm.
That their relationship, the way that it's endured, and the love between the two of them, because, you know, Octavia kind of hated Bellamy at one moment. And
I mean, it's that brother sister, you know.
They don't really understand each other in some ways.
But they've been through so much, it kind of makes sense.
Yeah, you know? But there's still so much love and hope, and there's still that older brother thing protecting her.
Mm-hmm.
That when he finds out she's alive, like, that was great. And then when he's holding her in his arms at the end, that was great.
That was really nice.
Because she's, like, finally in a state where she's weak enough to need his help. She hasn't been weak enough to need his help in a long time.
Well, yeah, she's always been, you know, independent, or she's always had Lincoln by her side. She's always had somebody, or she's been working on her own. And I feel like this is, and also the fact that they haven't really seen eye to eye.
Yeah, right.
Since the whole Pike takeover. Yeah. So I feel like now, because he's redeemed himself, and now, you know, she's in a state where she can't fight.
Yeah.
It just makes sense. And also because Bellamy just thought that she was dead and then just learned that she's alive. So I feel like he's like, must hold on to my baby sister a little longer.
Speaking of Pike, did you like that Monty referenced Pike as an actual justification to do something?
No, like, the bad thing was, Pike was obviously... The thing is, Pike was a ruler, but he was an extremist ruler.
Yeah.
So extremist can look good or bad, and depending on what your view is, but the fact that he probably had good advice, he was also a teacher at one point, like, that you can't get over that. But obviously, you know, war and trying to survive can change a person, clearly. We saw that with Octavia. So, like, you know, as much as I hated Pike the entire last season, I can understand why they would use some of his advice, because, again, he was a good teacher at one point.
Right, definitely. I mean, I think Monty's point was sound, you know, trying to illustrate that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so there's a bunch of negotiation that happens here, And we have this like, you know, wild character in Riley who like doesn't seem to want to get on board. And you know where he's coming from. I mean, there are definitely those warring ideologies that have existed with the different groups mm-hmm. are very apparent. And I like that they don't just abandon those things.
Yeah.
It's one of, I think, probably the strongest elements of the show's writing is that they won't just say like, well, you were a character, you were saved, now you're with this like safe group and you have armor and a gun. You're just going to be like, okay, well, I'm back on the good side, so I'm not going to hold a grudge. Like, they really do, like, Octavia kills Pike. Like, they make these characters follow through with their hate
mm-hmm.
And with their sense of vengeance.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's strong.
And it's very human of them as well, because of the fact that just like when you want to protect something so much that you would, sometimes your actions don't seem very well, or you might say something that you know that you really don't mean, or maybe you actually do. I feel like they really portray human emotion very well in this show, especially yeah. when it comes to the fact that like even though Ilion shouldn't have done this, but I understand where he's coming from, where it's like, this thing, technology made me kill my family,
right.
So I'm gonna go through as much technology as I can and wreak havoc. So makes sense.
Yeah, do you feel like they are continuing to hint at Bellamy and Echo? They just kind of keep like, they keep like just tapping the hornet's nest a little bit. Like,
I don't think so.
You don't think they're going there?
I would be very surprised, but no. I'm gonna, at least for me, I'm gonna poo-poo on it for now.
Yeah. It doesn't strike me as like Becco or
Elmy. No, I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like either one.
Echo-me?
No.
Yeah, it doesn't strike me as one that's going to happen. I got a couple tweets about it or comment on YouTube or something. Mm-hmm. Some people were pointing it out.
No, I mean, it makes sense. There is definite tension there, but I feel like it's one of those, like, we're enemies, you know,
yeah.
kind of attract thing. But I don't think that I don't know. The writers always surprise me, but I don't yeah. think that's where they're going to go with it.
There was a minute there. So, first question.
Sure.
That I was going to ask is, do we think that there's going to be a war this season? And it seems like...
Yes.
You think there is
yes.
truly going to be a war.
Yes.
Second question is now with... Actually, second question is, I know you got to bind things by blood, but let me just tell you something.
So gross.
Let me just tell you something. When I reach in the pocket of my jeans too many times and like the skin on my cuticle peels back a little bit, it's like stings like crazy. And I have to like do that so many times in a day. I like can't stand it. Can you imagine slicing your palm and then having to go about your business? Like, that's horrible. You don't even care if you just barely slice it. That would be so uncomfortable and, like, inconvenient. It's like, can't you guys slice a finger and then, like...
No.
It's gotta be a hand.
I just don't, like, E.T. it. No, I feel like because it's such a way of life for them that they just... I mean, I understand where you're coming from because you have stuff in your pockets all the time, so this is, like, an everyday thing. But I don't know. I guess for them, it's just, like, when you get a... You know, I don't know. I guess it's weird because we used to do... Like, in the Philippines, there used to be, like, a thing that... it's kind of like bloody knuckles, but it's in a more extreme way because there's sticks involved, and I don't want to get into it. But, like... When you get into an argument and then you lose, you have to hit sticks on your knuckles.
Right.
And I used to go through that a lot as a kid because I always used to lose at these competitions. And
yeah.
at one point, my knuckles just got so calloused over and everything that even when they did it and I broke skin, it didn't hurt anymore.
Yeah, I don't know.
And also Clark's just a badass in her own aspect.
Oh, yeah.
And she's like, I'm used to this. Here we go. But in my brain,
like,
I'm like, what happened to just like spitting on the hand? Like,
yeah, exactly.
Like New York style. No? All right.
Rowan's like, we bond by blood. And he's like, Clark's like, oh, no, that's not what I do.
No, how about we just...
She's like, I'll shake your hand, but I'm not going to do that. So
she's
like,
no, but no, she knows because of the fact that she understands how grounders work that she just did it. I mean, but you can see that she flinched, though.
Yeah.
She was like... Ew. But like she still did it, but I because the last time she did it, I think I don't remember what the scene was, but she wrapped her hand after.
Yeah.
This time she didn't really do that. She just kind of like we moved on to the next thing, and I was like, "Get it, girl."
Slitting the palm of my hand just sounds like seriously the worst. But anyway, getting back, there's a couple lines Bellamy had in this episode that I what people laughing.
Sorry, I'm reading everything because I also think of the same thing. I was like, "Is that blade clean?"
Oh God,
like,
I know.
Petrina JC said, was that blade clean? Hep C, man. And Renji said that tradition goes all the way back to the Native Americans. Correct.
Yep.
MJ was like, that's what I was thinking, bacteria and disease.
Yeah, I mean, so, there's no doubt that I understand the honor aspect of it. It's just like,
no, yeah,
seems incredibly painful.
I'm like, you know, guys, I mean, you're just gonna have scars on your hands all the time, you know?
Yeah. I like I liked a couple lines in the negotiation between Riley and Echo and Bellamy. And Echo says, it's like Queen Naya used to say, war makes murderers of us all. I don't know why I can't say that. And then later, Bellamy is saying to Riley, he uses the same line. He says, war made me a murderer. Don't let it turn you into one.
Yeah, and I think that to Echo, it was kind of like, oh, wow, he listened to what I said. He used me, you know, he used what I my advice as a reference. Interesting.
Yeah.
So,
they,
I don't know.
They might be pushing the Echo Bello. Echo me Bello? Oh, jeez.
I don't know.
They might be pushing it.
That
I don't
ship,
know.
Yeah.
It seems a little bit like they're just putting you in this weird situation to be, like, at odds until they're not. Maybe it'll be like...
I mean, I'm also intrigued to see what's going to happen now, because the way that Rowan and Echo were looking at each other after the Arcadia blew up, they were kind of like, great, there was our ticket out of here, now what?
And we made a deal for what?
Yeah.
You know, we made a deal for what? So what now?
And that's why I thought that maybe there could still be a war at the end, but now that I'm thinking about it, maybe I do want to retract that answer, because I don't, I really don't know what's going to happen now.
Do you think Jasper died off screen in the blast?
No. No, Jasper was probably still singing a song somewhere in the woods.
Probably lighting a cigarette on the fire. Yeah.
Or with a lady. Well, I don't know.
Jerk. Yeah, so I think that's pretty much the extent of what happened. We didn't have much of a fight. I am curious what's going to happen when Octavia is, like, not coughing and bleeding and she sees Echo around her.
Yeah, and I want to see what their progress is with Luna and Nightblood and, you know, all that kind of stuff. I want to see how Abby's condition is going to worsen or get better.
Well, yeah, they definitely also hinted early on with that when she said, you know, we need more blood. And he's like, let her sleep. And Abby's like, we don't have time. And you got flashes a little bit of that, like, uh-oh.
It's starting to get a little hostile because they are running out of time. It makes sense, and that's the whole thing. I'm really glad that, at least in the tinderbox, as Monty was calling it, that nobody died there. But then I don't even want to know how many people we lost in the blast this time. You know what I mean? Because the engine room was down there. Nobody knew. Someone could have just been walking in the hallway and then died. Like, you never know.
Yeah, maybe the tinderbox is what Jasper was doing while the explosion was going on.
Probably.
Yeah. So, anyway, I think that pretty much wraps up our thoughts on the episode.
Yeah.
Unless you had anything else you wanted to add, should we get into predictions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
One thing I did forget to point out was I love when Echo's like, there's no way Octavia survived my blade or that fall. And I don't want to be like, but this is TV, so of course she did.
I mean, she doesn't know that. Oh, man. Wait, what? Is that a window or a backdrop? Oh, never mind. Sorry. I was reading stuff from the chat. For people who are wondering, this is a win. This is fake.
This is a window.
Yeah. This is a window. No, this is fake. It's a backdrop. But... Yes, so I think that I'm curious to see what Rowan and the Ice Nation is going to do now, because they had this, it's so crazy to me, because they had this entire plan to take over the ship, and the ship's just been blown up, and they're just like, okay, crap, so.
Where are they all going to stay? I mean, that's where my prediction comes from, is I think.
I don't know.
There's too many people that are going to need medical attention, they're going to need food, all their supplies are gone, everything they had is gone, so now they're going to have to get somewhere. Either they're going to have to go back to Polis and try to, like, stay in Polis.
They could do that. They might... I mean, I don't know how far the bunker is.
I was going to say, but they're going to have to go to the lab or something. But it's not like there's that much space
for people. There's not enough space for everybody. I don't know. Does that mean they're going to rebuild? Does that mean they're going to move somewhere else? Like, there's so many questions up in the air, at least for the location. But I feel like Ice Station's going to bring them back, because technically they made...
A pact.
So.
Yeah, that's what I think, too.
I don't know.
I think Polis is probably the move there.
Melissa in the chat said all the meds and foods are gone. So, yeah, they're going to have to go back.
Everything.
Yeah. Everything is completely blown up. Or at least it looks like from at least the preview, they're going to salvage whatever they can probably find.
Yeah.
But it's definitely not going to be enough to feed. I don't even know how many people are on Arcadia as of right now.
Yeah, there's a mission going on. I sort of was thinking that they'll probably... I started to think about characters that are going to die. I do think Jasper dies. We've predicted that before.
Yeah, we thought that all last season, and he didn't die. So I don't know, man.
I started to think that maybe they're going to kill off either Monty or Harper.
I hope not. I really like Monty and Harper.
I like Marper. It's a good ship. It's a fun ship. But I kind of just started to feel like... But maybe actually the death that we're going to get is either Abby or Raven. It could be one of those two.
I thought Abby was going to die last season, and I didn't get that either. So
Abby might be the money death. It kind of felt like the way they set it up tonight was like, you know, and Clark is just getting more and more and more sort of like in charge that, you know, I mean, you'd lose a doctor, of course, but it seems like that'd be
effective. Clark is still there, though, so she still can be the doctor. She's not as good as Abby, but at least she knows enough. I like that we have Chancellor Kane back. That's nice.
I know you like Kane.
I do.
And his beard.
He's the bee's knees. Yeah. But I also love Nyla, too. Hey, girl, hey. But oh, concerning hobbits. So it's like, I don't know. Like, I feel like that they've set up such a crazy plot that that they could actually go in any direction at this point. But I definitely think they're going to need Ice Nation's help again to get them through stuff. I'm like,
it's so interesting. You just never know what's going to happen. Like, there was a minute there that I actually thought when he had Rowan in his sights and Echo had...
I thought he was going to shoot.
I thought one of those two things was going to happen. I was just like, if maybe they'll just kill Riley and, like, there'll be some shots, maybe...
I think that's going to be my death prediction. I think Rowan's going to die.
Rowan.
Yeah.
Well, they pretty much killed him last season and then just, like, brought him back, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I mean, you never know. I mean, I don't want him to, especially because Yale, who's our other counterpart, loves him.
Yeah.
I don't know if they will, but that's like, next. I think Abby... I know we do this every year. So, Abby, Rowan, and Jasper are my three.
Yeah. Without Rowan, you have to really start to think who has the best abs on the show. And I don't know. After him, we don't get a lot of abs anymore. After
well,
those
no,
two.
I think it's too serious now. Everyone has to stay clothed.
Yeah, maybe it's Bellamy. I don't know. They don't give us a lot of Bob Morley abs.
Maybe
anyway,
we'll
guys,
have a new guy.
Yeah, that's going to wrap it up. Thank you guys so much for watching the show. And share your thoughts if you want to follow along. At Ben Bateman Media on Twitter and Instagram. Give us a rating or a review on iTunes. It helps us stay high in the standings. We provide free content here at AfterBuzz, and we would like to continue doing that. We always will, but a rating or review continues to help us do that.
And definitely catch Ben and I, and a few of actually of our other AfterBuzz hosts here at KlexiCon this coming weekend.
Yeah, KlexiCon. Hashtag KlexiCon on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We're so excited in Vegas.
Yeah, so if you guys are in the Vegas area, or if you are going to KlexiCon, you know, hit us up on social media. We'll be on the floor for the entire weekend, and, you know, we'll hang out and we'll do stuff together. You know, it's Vegas.
Again, a 24-layer slice of chocolate cake.
Oh my god, I'm so excited about
We're
that.
We're doing that.
Yeah, it's happening.
but bye, you can, guys.
Oh yeah, sorry. You can find me at atorres890. Bye, guys.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.